Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, June 18th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Well, it still seems that gold is struggling. We did have a reversal a little bit here late in the afternoon, up to 80. After Fed Chairwoman Yellen spoke, $12.75 for gold. You have silver up 9 cents today at $19.95. Platinum is up $9 at $1,452, along with palladium up $7 at $827. The USDX today is trading slightly lower, 0.18 at 80.43. Crude oil today is also slightly lower, 0.19, 106.17, and the paper markets, they enjoyed what Janet Yellen had to say today. The S&P, that's another record high. And, of course, the Fed came out indicating an improving job market. That's all it takes, folks, is a mention of an improving job market. Forget the rest of the world and the condition that it's in. But the Dow did leak out to up 98 points. 16,906, and everyone is cheering the NASDAQ, the tech group, closes at its highest in 14 years, 43.62, but heaven forbid if you compare it and talk about what gold has done in the past 14 years, it's all bad, but the NASDAQ, good. S&P up 14 at 1,956 and the 10-year yield 2.61%. We have a lot to talk about today, particularly about the Fed and the ongoing stimulus, the quantitative easing, and bond purchasing. But for the first 20 minutes today, Al, we have Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Hello, Wendy.
Well, I guess we'll be bringing her on here in just a few minutes, Al, as we get Wendy. But she must be having a little bit of technical problems. But it really wasn't any great shock that came out with the Federal Reserve today coming out indicating that they're going to taper another $10 billion. And the IMF actually came out and gave a lower growth prediction for 2014, so seeing the Fed come out with a lower growth for 2014 really is no big surprise.
Well, it's not a surprise. The surprising thing is, I read one of the articles on Federal Reserve tapers another $10 billion, sees lower growth in 2014. They see lower growth, but they still insist we're in a recovery. Yeah. Well, that's not absolutely, say we see lower growth, but we see still in the recovery. It's not absolutely contradictory, but it gets pretty close to it. And they pull the numbers out, and they say, what do they see? Growth 2.1 to 2.3% compared to their March estimate of 2.8 to 3.0% means their growth estimate has fallen by 0.7% for the year. It's fallen down by 0.7% in just 3 months. All right? That's interesting. And it's the kind of thing that is a little bit worrisome. That's a lot of fall in just 3 months. We're talking 0.2%, a little better than that per month from their previous estimate. And all of this, I just feel when I listen to these numbers as if I'm listening to the election results of the former Soviet Union. I know they're lying to me, all right? I know they're making up the numbers. I'm annoyed by the government and the Federal Reserve's lies, but I'm not surprised, and I'm certainly not shocked. But it's just one of those things. You sit back and you look at it, and I don't know. And then now the markets move in certain directions based on what? Based on lies, exaggerations, misleading information. And the markets, yay, somebody lie to me. Tell us lies, tell us sweet, sweet lies. And the government obliges. Ah, Wendy's here.
Yes, she is.
All right, Wendy. How are you doing, Wendy?
I'm here. Hi, Al. How, Melody? How you doing?
Yep.
Just great.
This is Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com. And I'm not sure, what are we talking about today, Wendy?
I think last week I promised to talk about minimal change disease, I believe.
That's right. That's exactly
what I have. Oh, I guess we're going to talk about that then. Yes.
Can't break your promise.
I can't do that. Do you know what minimal change disease is, Sal?
Well, it's different from maximal change, is that right?
Well, good guess. Physicians truly don't understand what all is involved with this disease, but it is a kidney disorder. It affects the functions of the kidneys, and it also can have another nickname, C1Q, especially if little kids get it. And that's the weird thing. 80% of the cases are young kids. Or the other percentage is young adults. So it seems to affect the kids and young adults, not us old folks. So we're safe. But it seems to create more of a protein disorder in the kidneys. They're just guessing that it is an immune system maybe malfunction, or maybe a virus like strep or mono kind of brings it on. They even suspect that maybe overuse of non-steroidal anti-inflammatory meds and even vaccinations could be the culprit. So they're really not sure what's causing it.
What are the symptoms?
The symptoms are there's some swelling and edema, and usually this happens in the face, the eyes, arms, legs, abdomen area. So patients will sometimes not have a real good appetite, and they can pick up weight, usually due to the fluid retention. And then the other weird thing is they can have this foamy appearance to their urine. So those are the symptoms that can indicate that there's a problem. But here's the thing that I wanted to make people aware of if they have kids, grandkids that may be affected by something like this. They'll take blood tests, and they may do a basic comprehensive metabolic panel to look for the proteins and the fats that could be present in the urine. And they may even do a biopsy of the kidney tissue to officially confirm minimal change disease. But the only way that you can absolutely officially confirm that is if they use an electron microscope when they look at the biopsy tissue. So if they're not using an electron microscope, you're going to have to get a second opinion on this.
So okay. How dangerous is this disease? Is this an annoyance that the kids grow out of? It's there for a while, and then it just disappears. It goes away on its own. Is this potentially dangerous?
Well, the outlook's not good, actually. The condition really does become acute within a very short time when you do get a diagnosis of this. There are other complications that could be in the, like diabetes could be in the mix, and high blood pressure can also be a problem. And often they'll put the kids on blood pressure meds and, blood sugar medications. So, but basically this is just, managing it until they finally put the patient on dialysis and then on the kidney list for a transplant. So people need to really do their homework on this condition and on anything that's recommended. And the really interesting thing is a lot of the medications that they give, these kids are on a slew of drugs, probably half a dozen, if they have this condition. And a lot of the drugs have the same side effects as the disease. It's really kind of strange.
It's not strange. It doesn't surprise me at all. How long have people recognized minimal change disease? Is this a recent phenomena? Has it been going on throughout history, and we've just recently given it a name, or is this a relatively new phenomenon that hasn't been seen before?
Well, minimal change disease is kind of a name they've given a kidney disorder, sort of like when they say you have a virus, they're really not sure what you have. You know what I mean? They just know that something's wrong. So they don't even know what's causing
it. It's kind of like being a witch doctor, then, is what we are diagnosed by a witch doctor. You have Ouga disease.
Yeah, but personally, if I ever came down with something like this, or if I had kids that came down with kidney function problems, there's like 25 different herbs that can help the kidneys function properly, to help the body restore function, actually. So, if you follow the advice of your doctors on something like this, you're going to be on immune suppressant drugs for your life and ultimately on the organ transplant.
That's got to be terrible.
Yeah.
Immune suppression. If you're on immune suppression drugs for the rest of your life, you are exposing yourself to other diseases. In the name of trying to stop one disease, you expose yourself to a host of other diseases. Isn't that true, or am I misunderstanding?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. There's a lot of things you can't do. Actually, children that have this problem, they have to wear masks, like the people over in China with their bad air. They have to wear masks over their faces because you're mixing with other kids and they can't get sick because they're on immune suppressant drugs. They can't exert themselves or play gym. Okay, so they can't participate in any of those activities. So these kids are really, on the fast track.
You might as well raise them in a bubble if you're going to have this. If this is the kind of disease where you almost need to raise the children in a bubble, is what you're talking about. They become bubble boys, bubble girls, if you catch my drift.
I know, but you know what? There's one herb that the kidneys just love, Al, and it's very soothing because those kidneys have those really tender, fine little filters, and it just soothes the kidneys. And it's marshmallow root.
I was going to guess. I was going to guess it was hops.
No.
They used to drink a lot of beer back in the day, and that always seemed to soothe my kidneys. So I thought maybe it was hops in the beer, but you say it's marshmallow.
It's marshmallow root. Yeah, and marshmallow root is also good for gouty issues like bursitis and arthritis. It's just real soothing to irritated tissues. The other thing that I would also use is clove and mullein, chaparral, garlic, comfrey. There's a bunch of stuff, and I would definitely use the blood cleansing herbs because the filters of the kidneys separate the waste material from the blood, and so you need help cleansing the blood to kind of take a little bit of that burden off the kidneys. So there's a lot people can do without having to swallow a lot of those drugs that they're pushing on kids. So I hope people will investigate their options before they go out there and fill prescriptions.
Well, is this disease primarily, I think you're telling us that it's primarily, it occurs among children.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see it in adults very much.
Just young adults, but only 10 to 15%.
All right, so it starts out relatively relatively new in life. I don't know what I'm doing with this. Is there any possible link to foods, to diet, genetically modified foods? Is any of that, any evidence to support or to refute that possibility?
Well, we haven't found any, you know, smoking guns there. But I'm sure some of the GMOs and other medications aren't helping the matter. And vaccines, of course, if you listen to some experts, vaccines cause all internal disease disorders. So it could very well, because vaccines was on the list that doctors had there as a possibility. So it could be something now in these vaccines, which they're fast-tracking with not a whole lot of clinical trial, that could be the culprit. And now they're coming out with those GMO vaccines. You heard about that. And I found another reason why they're coming out with the GMO vaccines, Alan. It wasn't just because it makes the process of making the vaccines quicker, so they don't have to culture on the virus on eggs and they don't have to worry about egg allergies. There is a Supreme Court. Where was this? This was where was the Supreme Court case? I have to find it. Ohio upheld a decision that people who subscribe to veganism, you know, eating just vegetables and things, if they subscribe to veganism with sincerity, it equals that of a tradition religion, and therefore they could seek vaccine exemption.
Now, that's interesting. Vaccine exemptions if you subscribe to veganism.
Yeah, because a lot of the vaccines have animal products. They're cultured on animal, you know, kidneys or eggs or something. And so this is probably why a lot of the vaccine manufacturers want to get rid of that exemption. Is, well, we're just going to use GMO and we're going to use bug parts. So there you go.
You know, does this disease appear to be something that's acquired by the child after the child is born, or does it appear to be genetic?
No, they don't think it's genetic, and it's just something that develops later. They've even had, you know, siblings in the same family where two may have it and one won't, or one will develop it a few years later. And it could be an older sibling. So there's really no rhyme or reason. They're trying to grab onto some patterns, but they can't seem to find
anything. And they don't know exactly
solid.
If it's contagious or not. Is it or is it not contagious? Can you give it to someone else?
They don't think it's contagious, no.
I'm thinking
what it is it is vaccine-driven, in my personal opinion. And then whatever your weakest link is, that's what you're going to come down with.
I think I understand what you're saying, because if it's not genetic, then we have to sit back and say it's either contagious. We didn't have it when we were born. It's not genetic. So how did we get it? And the answer is we either got it because it's contagious from other people, or we've acquired it based on something we've ingested, either eating or by taking shots.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think those are the two options, really. And time will tell as they move forward with this condition. But there's herbs for the blood pressure issue. There's herbs for the diabetic issue. There's herbs for the kidney issue. And I hope people will investigate that. And if they have any questions, the folks at Apothecary Herbs, that's us, we can send them some free information, get a free product catalog in their hands. And they can just simply call us toll-free at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or they can visit the website, thepowerherbs.com, because, Al, when you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
All right. Well, remember that, Wendy. Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com. Thank you. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday, Wendy.
Bye-bye.
I'm Alfred Addis, and I'm here with Melody Cederstrom, and we will be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hey folks, I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with my co-host Melody Cederstrom. What's next, Melody?
And I just want to remind the listeners of our special going on this week for the almost uncirculated $5 Liberty gold piece dated prior to 1907, along with a tube of 21-ounce Silver Eagles 2014. Includes your free Silver Eagle, so you're actually getting 21 Silver Eagles, all for the low cost of $888. And they must give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And for those of you who listen to this program at different hours other than the live broadcast, we will hold specials for you. You just call us the next day, and sometimes I even held them for several days, even after the price of gold has gone up. So it's there for you. We'll hold it for you, but just give us a call and visit our website at DGScoins.com, DGScoins.com. Sign up for a weekly newsletter. And, of course, all of these programs are archived there on a daily and monthly basis. So make sure you get there. We do have specials posted also on the website. And Al, we were talking prior about the Federal Reserve.
Yes.
I didn't know if
were we done talking about it? You didn't know if we were or we were not.
Are we done with the Federal Reserve?
I don't know. A better question is, are they done with us? Not whether we're done with the Federal Reserve, but are they done with us? You know, there's Federal Reserve is going to taper another $10 billion. They're going to stop pumping another $10 billion a month into the economy. That's the significant news. We started out at $85 billion a month. It's been most recently it was reduced down to $50 or $45 billion a month, and now it's falling to $35 billion a month, of which Let me see where it is right here. It tells on there will be taking $20 billion a month is going to go to mortgage-backed securities, and the other $15 billion a month will go into U.S. Treasuries. Now, if I were, you know, for my portfolio, Melanie,
yes,
do you think I should amp my portfolio up to include more mortgage-backed securities? And how about long-term federal bonds, federal treasuries? Do you think that would be an improvement in my portfolio, or what's your comment?
Well, you know, Al, it is just amazing what people are willing to put up it. And, you know, you talk about being con, that this is all a con game. And I'm just baffled at how these people can continue to come out and talk like the world is just flush and the recoveries are grand and everything is fantastic. I mean, you know, Cyprus. We all know what happened in Cyprus. We all know that people lost a lot of money. And now Cyprus, they're returning. Now after a year or two, they're returning to the international markets. They raised 700 million euros, which is $1 billion, from international markets when its first public issue of bonds since last year's international bailout saved it from bankruptcy. They had a target of about 500 million euros. And that was oversubscribed four times and allowed authorities to raise an extra. They even got extra, 250 million euros.
It's a gratuity.
Yes.
It's like a tip,
yes,
that you leave with the waiter at the restaurant. You got to calculate, I think 15% is usual, but you could go 20, 25%. That's okay.
All the people that got in trouble with having their money in Cyprus. These bonds carried a 4.75% interest rate. But what's interesting, they actually did a test prior to this release. It was a private test to where they actually offered, like, I think it was like 6.5%. And you wonder who they were in order to get a much higher rate for Cyprus. But they go on and, you know, they talk about how great that you can trust in the economy and its prospects. It's been confirmed, and the finance minister is all saying it's all, you know, roses again. However, and all this money that they're getting from these bond sales is going to help pay down the country's debt, which is now at 118% of gross domestic product. And they're still holding about a 17% unemployment rate. And you still have their banking sector that is still weighed down by bad loans. And you still, you know, and most of their bonds is rated junk anyway. But yet, you know, these credit rating companies, you know, oh, well, they're getting better. They're not getting worse. And also, well, that's better than getting worse. So
it's kind of like being a cadaver. You know, once you die, you don't really get much worse after that. You say, well, yeah, true, they're dead, that's true, but they're not getting any worse, so, you know, let's invest.
So, to me, this is just a prime example of how twisted the news and the reports and how they could turn something that is, And how they create the illusions of...
It's not just how do they create the illusions. How do they keep running the same racket over and over again? There's the question. Right? It's one thing, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And here they are. They got caught in a rat trap 2 years ago. And now people in Cyprus are back saying, that cheese smells awfully good. And they're going to go back into the same rat trap again. That's what's going to happen here. Now, I think one of the questions is, who is actually buying these Cypriot bonds? The implication of the story, the way I understood it from you, is that these are private investors that think this is a good idea. But I can't help wondering if, in truth, whatever money's being given to the 700, what, billion euros, if I understand correctly, if I got the number correctly, it's actually being supplied perhaps ultimately by the European Central Bank. Any possibility that's correct, or is that just a groundless conspiracy theory?
Oh, I'm sure it's possible. And, of course, we all know that the Russians lost a lot of money in that deal. And I know just not too long ago we reported on how Russians are on some of these boards and so forth. So it's probably a way to pay some of them back to the higher rates and so forth. You know, it's just another tale, and it's just another sign that things are not as great and as fantastic. And you're right. How do they just keep falling right back into the same?
Yeah, I understand.
Game? And it's the same thing here in the States. I mean, look at everything that happens here, but yet people fall back into the same program.
Why do they fall back into the same program, Melody?
I don't know.
It's because they are greedy for unearned income. That's why. You can do this time and time again. Someone has done a study on fiat currencies, and there have been something, according to his study, there have been something like 275 separate instances of fiat currency in the history of the world. I've seen another references. There's even more than that, but 275. They have all collapsed. They have all turned out to be a disaster, with the exception of a handful that are still running right now, maybe half a dozen, that are currently functioning like the U.S. dollar. Knowing this track record, why do we go again and again and again back to a fiat currency? And the answer is the promise of unearned wealth. Mm-hmm. We get to rob somebody. All right? And I can, you know, it's the old saying, you can't con an honest man. Everyone who likes fiat currency is a crook. They want to be able to pay off their debts in cheaper dollars. It's one of the great advantages. And that includes everybody who's, I'll bet you that everybody in this audience who has ever bought a new house, they said one of the justifications, well, you're going to pay X percent, but because of inflation, you'll be paying off the house in cheaper dollars. Well, people may not have thought about that very clearly, but what that means is thanks to inflation, which we can have thanks to fiat currency, you can defraud your creditors. They lend you money and you pay back less than you borrowed. Inflation is a way for you to renege on your obligations. And we as a people say, yay, I don't want to pay my debts. And the world and the bankers say, yay, then you're going to love fiat currency. And the big surprise for everyone is guess who gets robbed? The very people who think that fiat currency is a great idea. They don't mind. They don't care. They're not concerned by inflation. They're not concerned that inflation robs people. And we sit back and we say, oh, that's okay. If we think about it at all, we say, that's okay. It's the government stealing. And they don't steal too much. They only take a few percent a year. The truth of the matter is we go back into this fiat currency because as a species, as a people, we love the promise of a free lunch. Even though we know there isn't one, somebody's got to pay. But it's okay if we can get somebody to pay besides you and me. Then let's belly up to the bar, boys. You know? So this is part of human nature, and it's why we go for it time and time and time again. Huh? Greedy. If you don't want, and time and time and time again, we go to an economic collapse. Why? Because we're greedy. If you don't want to be part of that economic collapse, and it's inevitably coming, can't say when, but the fiat dollar is going to die just like the Zimbabwean dollar died, and as the whatever they had, the mark, the German mark prior to World War II. They all go down. All these fiat currencies go down. Dollar is going to do the same. Could happen this year. Could happen 5 years from now. Don't know. All right? But if you don't want to expose yourself to that risk, get away. All right? Get out of it now. And make plans to be free from it. And how do you get away from a fiat currency? Get into real money. If you're going to store your wealth in the form of money, get real money, not fiat currency. It's going to go down. The weight of our collective greed, our collective willingness to get something for nothing, all right, our lust for the free lunch, it will destroy the fiat dollar. Going to happen. If you don't want to get caught in that destruction, get some real money.
You know, Al, we often say that we don't know when it's coming. We don't know the timing. And no one knows the timing. But because we don't know the timing doesn't mean that we don't know what is going to happen. Those who predict, they're just making it a little more exciting because they don't know either. They're either going to get lucky because they've made enough predictions that one of them will eventually hit it on the nose, or they stick with the prediction long enough and a date and so forth, and it just eventually comes to pass. And so just because we say that we don't know when it's going to happen, that's the truth. No one knows when it's going to happen. But every day it gets closer and closer. The world is crumbling. It's crumbling. Al, today I was reading an article about the Dubai airports. And, you know, you see pictures of these airports. They're beautiful.
Yeah.
They're new. They're huge. They're you can't describe them. And then you compare our airports here in the States. They're crumbling. I've heard airline pilots and stewardess say they hate flying in the States anymore only because our airports are in such poor condition. And, you know, to me, I was visualizing it as countries. You know, where you have countries where they have money they can put into their infrastructure. And, yeah, I'm not going to go into about where they got their money. We all know where they got the money. And, yeah, I don't agree with it either. But on the other hand, they have the money to build and to grow, where here in the States, we don't.
I know.
We have.
Why not? Why don't we have it?
Money for infrastructure.
Why don't we have the money to build and grow? It's because we have shipped some of our productive capacity to foreign countries under the guise of supporting the New World Order and global free trade and a bunch of other crapola. We've shipped industries and jobs to foreign countries, which means our incomes are diminished by that loss. That's
one
of the reasons. Another reason we invite illegal aliens into this country, they've been openly encouraged. I mean, George W. Bush encouraged them to come in, and other presidents sit back and they play a game and the dance of the seven veils, and they pretend they're going to do something, but they're not. These illegal aliens are taking jobs at lower wages. Inevitably, it just has to be. They're willing to work for minimum wage. What does that mean? It means it depresses the wage scale for everyone. The nation is impoverished.
And I do put blame on the people also, Al, because we have sat back and we have accepted everything that has been dished to us. The promises of a better life here, the promises of wealth, and then in the same breath with those promises of wealth, they're taking it away from them and lowering their standard of living. And yet people don't bother to look past today.
They are catching people like we catch trout with an artificial lure. We just cast it out there into the stream and say, look, free lunch. And the trout goes for the free lunch, and bang, next thing you know, the trout is the free lunch. He thought he was getting a free lunch. Turns out he's hooked. He's in a frying pan, and he is the free lunch. And that's pretty much what happens to people who are immoral, amoral, think they're entitled to something they haven't earned, and we live in an entitlement society. You're entitled to this, you're entitled to that. You're not entitled to a nickel that you haven't personally earned in the free market. All the rest of it, if you have income coming in, you better just thank the good Lord, because if you didn't earn it, it's charity, it's a blessing, and maybe even a curse. But if you didn't earn it, there's something wrong with it. I'm Alfred Addis, here at Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. We'll break for some commercials. Be right back.
countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
I'm coughing. Excuse me.
Well, here, I
just
got
getting over my bronchitis, so thank you very much.
I've got an article here for us by Bill Holter, and it was entitled, How Did This Happen? He published this 2 days ago. And he says, the Financial Times did a story over the weekend entitled, Central Banks Shift into Equities. ZeroHedge.com, they described it, and he goes on, he quotes someone from what ZeroHedge.com did relative to the central bank shift into equities. And here's what it says. The official monetary and institutional forum now say that central banks have invested $29.1 trillion into the global equity markets. In other words, central banks worldwide have collectively invested or injected $29 trillion into the global stock markets. Some of it's going into the New York Stock Exchange. Some of it's going into Shanghai. I don't know where it's all going. But globally, the central banks have bought $29 trillion worth of stocks. This is what's helping to prop the markets up and even make them go higher when people look around and say, what's the reason for this? Why is the Dow approaching 17,000? What is the reason for this? The reason is that the central banks have bought $29 trillion worth of stock on the global market. That's the reason. It says, before going into this, we have a better understanding, know why the stock markets are up. We wondered how the markets were going up because everyone so far this year has reported to be a seller. Everyone's selling stocks, and yet the stocks are going up. How can that be? All right, it's happening. And they went ahead and they say, we wondered where the money was coming from to propel prices higher if everyone is selling. Now we know. The value of all stock markets on the planet added up to about $62 trillion. Okay, take all the stocks from the New York Stock Exchange and Shanghai and Germany and England and so on. Add them all together, you've got $62 trillion. Now it is revealed that $29 trillion has come from the world's central banks.
Now, where do they get the money? They just print it. They've bought half the stocks in the world. That's what it comes down to. They bought $29 trillion out of $62 trillion. It's a little less than 50%. But for ballpark figures, the central banks own 50% of all the stocks that are being traded on all of the markets in the world. All right? What's that mean? Of course the prices are being manipulated. It means that the central banks can destroy all of the stock markets worldwide anytime they want to. They own nearly half of the equity in all publicly traded businesses. By simply printing fiat currency, they have privatized the world. All right, and the same manipulation goes to gold and everything else. The bankers have bought half the markets. You know, a man named Walter Burian did some extraordinary research back in the early 1990s when he discovered the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, which is mandated by law for every governmental district, entity, agency, state, county, city. They all have to keep comprehensive annual financial reports. And what this, and the reason these are important is because the government always talks about the budget. And they say, oh, the budget for 2015, we're going to be short. We got to raise taxes because we're not going to have enough money. And here's the budget. See, so we've got the budget is a projection of what's going to happen into the future. But the budgets are specifically rigged where they don't display the entire currency, that's revenue that's going to flow to the particular governmental agency. And as a result, the agency can constantly come back and say, oh my gosh, we're not going to have enough money. We've got to have more money. You got to raise taxes so we can help the children and the minorities and the women and the elderly. And golly, it's just for the, we're doing good deeds. And the truth of the matter is, what Burian's research discovered was that what he came to understand is that the government actually has so much more money than it admits to. And this turns up in the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, which is a record of how much money actually did come in and how much was spent in the previous year. Today, we are worried about the budget for 2015. We're going to project, we got a budget that projects how much we're going to return, how much revenue we're going to take in, and how much we're going to spend in 2015, next year. In 2016, however, we will produce the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report for 2015. After 2015 is over, then we actually go through the books and we find out how much money we made and how much money we came in as revenue and how much was spent. And if you read the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report closely, you will discover that there are billions of dollars of income that are not anticipated in the budget. And what Burian contended, and he worked on Wall Street, he worked in the commodities exchanges, and what he concluded was, and this was back in the 90s, he concluded that the government had invested, taken all this extra money that they've been getting out of people, said, oh, we're going to go broke next year, we've got to have raised taxes. They took the extra money they'd been taking in as revenue, and they invested it in the stock markets. And it was Burian's contention back in the 1990s that the federal government then owned, well, not just the federal government, government in general, federal government, state governments, city governments, all of them were investing, and they moved collectively. They collectively owned half the stock markets, and that was his conclusion then. And here we see an article coming from Financial Times that claims that the central banks have invested $29 trillion in the world's stock markets and therefore own roughly 50% of all the equity that exists in these stock markets on a global basis. This is at least an interesting coincidence relative to Walter Burian's research back in the 1990s, and I don't even believe it's a coincidence. just telling us the whole game is rigged in a way where you and I are not allowed to participate in a meaningful sense, certainly not in an honest sense. We are being deceived. We are being betrayed. We are being robbed by our government and our central bank and by the fiat monetary system. And as long as it doesn't bother you folks and you're content to be robbed, well, then they'd be robbed. But the day is going to come when they are going to strip you of virtually all of your wealth. And how will they do it? They're going to declare the dollar to be worthless. And insofar as you've stored your wealth in paper dollars or bonds or dollar-denominated paper assets, you're going to find much of your assets, and maybe most of them, maybe 80, 90% of them, just disappeared, gone. One day you're going to have $100 million or $100,000, and the next day you're going to have $10,000 or $20,000 in actual purchasing power. And when that happens, then everybody's going to scream and shout, and they're going to say, oh my gosh, how could this have happened? Especially to a sweet guy like me. I didn't do anything wrong. Yeah, you did. You spent your life looking for something for nothing. You spent your life in an amoral quest for unearned wealth. Spent your life trying to acquire more without worrying about whether you earned it or you didn't earn it. And that description doesn't apply to everyone, but it applies to a huge number of people in this country right now. And it is a dangerous and potentially deadly character flaw. Day's coming when you're going to have to pay your own way. And if you don't have any money, you're not going anywhere, not even to the grocery store. That day may be, who knows, 5 or 10 years away. It could happen this fall. No one knows. But part of the solution to the problem is you need to have your wealth stored in a media that will still have value if and when the dollar finally collapses. And there are some people say, oh, the dollar is not going to collapse. No, the dollar's already lost 95% of its wealth just in my lifetime. Anyone who looks into this can discover that a $100 bill, and when I was a kid, right now, will only buy about $5 worth of groceries. They've lost 95% of the value in my lifetime. There's only a dollar today is only worth a nickel compared to what it was worth back when I was a kid. You can look at that trend and say, now what do you think is going to happen here? How much further does the dollar have to decline before it's recognized as being worthless? It's already lost 95% of its bad value. Well, how much further? Is it at 96%, 97%, 98%, 99, 99.9? At what point in time does everyone wake up and say, you know, there's a trend here that's been going on for several generations? The dollar's going down. And if you can't see that trend, don't pay attention to the trend, guess what? You're going to be brutalized before this is over. You're gonna not only going to be robbed, and that's what's happening right now thanks to inflation. You may be completely robbed. You know, people say, well, little inflation, not so bad. It's like saying a little theft isn't so bad. A little rape isn't so bad. Just a couple rapes a year, just a couple murders a year. It's not too bad. We don't have to worry about that. But when you give your assent to the robbery and the rape and the murder, and all of a sudden the society degenerates into a mass of people who, where robbery, rape, and murder are commonplace, and you find yourself living in an environment that is much like living in the in South Central Los Angeles, and you say, "How did I get here?" You got here because you didn't mind inflation. You got here because you didn't bother to look at the moral implications of a fiat currency. You've got here because you think you're entitled to things that you haven't actually earned. And when it breaks down, it's not going to be fun for anyone. No one will enjoy it. Nobody, including me. I won't enjoy it. I can sit here and talk about it as if I'm smart enough to outfox these people. I'm not. I will mitigate the damage that I'm exposed to. And if you're sensible, in my opinion, you'll do what you can to mitigate the damage that's headed in your way and mine, coming toward us. Do what you can to mitigate. What do you think, Melody?
20 years ago when I got into this business, we didn't have the problems then as we do today. We talked about gold, encouraged folks to own gold and silver because of the fiat currency and giving them an understanding of how value was lost because of this fiat currency. And by holding those dollars into banks and the interest and the rates that they lost. And it's the more they make, the more they put away, the less they have. Just like people call me and they say, oh, they're all concerned about July 1st, about the dollar losing its value overnight because of the law that's going into effect. And I say exactly what you just said, Al. The dollar has already been devalued. How yeah. much more does it have to go before you understand?
Before you wake up, look, you know.
It takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. I believe when the final devalue comes, it will be overnight. But prior to, we've seen it happen over all these years. It isn't going to change. It will play out. The day of reckoning is coming.
Yeah, I understand. It has to. Because we have become an immoral people. And there's all kinds of people, oh, that's crazy talk. We're just getting along. We're just playing the game. We're just playing the system. You believe in inflation. You're saying, well, I've got to inflate. I've got to do. It's wrong. You understand? Inflation is theft. Oh. That's what it is. And insofar as we accept it, guess what? We have become an amoral people. And you can't sit back and say, well, it's just a little immorality. We just accept it a little bit. And it's okay for me to be immoral. I would want these other people to be moral, but not me. You have to insist on it. It's not a question of me insisting, ultimately, that the rest of the people be moral. It's a question of me, first and foremost, insisting that I become a moral person. And if you would like people in Congress to treat you fair and square, the first order of business is you must become a moral person who is the kind who is deserving of moral treatment. It's not just enough, you know, to complain about the other people being bad. We've got to recognize, take that plank out of our own eye before we worry about pulling the splinter out of someone else's. So I guess the lesson here, the implication is that our problems are not, we are not innocent victims. We may be ignorant victims, but we are not innocent victims. And when this stuff hits, the only people that are going to get through with the least amount of problem will be those who have some sort of moral foundation. We're out of time for today. I want to thank all of you for listening, and Melody and I will be back tomorrow. Or maybe I guess we'll be back. I guess James Corbett will be back here tomorrow, and I and Melody will be back on Friday. Melody will be here with James, and I'll be on part of the interview. But in any case, we'll be back one of these days. Thanks for listening. God bless each and every one of you and me and Melody and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.